Our gardeners are here. We have Melissa and Jerry this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
Smell of coffee roasted right here in the Chilkat Center. No. Brewed. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't.
Yeah. And as I came in here, I got my tote bag. So, time to get in and
do the silent drive.
Do the silent drive. And you know you're going to contribute anyway. So if you do it early, then you don't have to feel so guilty the whole time the drive is going on.
You don't have to worry about it. Just cross that off of your busy summer list.
Done.
Yeah. Done deal.
Yeah. So we're going to start this morning. I have to tell a story. I mean, I have friends with dinner or blah, blah, blah. I'm going to have dinner with friends tomorrow night, and one of them is bringing red cherry tomatoes from a plant she had last year. She had growing in a 5-gallon bucket. She took it in as the weather got cool, put it in a sunny window, and she is harvesting tomatoes now.
Oh my gosh.
And they're blooming like crazy. So,
well, what did she do to it throughout the winter?
She just kept it in a sunny window and, you know, kept it watered.
And did it continue to?
And it continued to bloom
and provide fruit
now. So I was encouraging her to lay one stem across and get a vegetative start off of that plant, because it's an amazing, well-adapted plant for here and particularly for her sunny window. So
there's nothing like the fresh tomato.
The first ones. It's like the first salmon, the first crab. It's just it's so amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Also, it's time to start thinking about the fair coming up. There will be, as usual, a fruit and veggie category. The judging is Wednesday, July 26th from 1 p.m. until done. And more details will be coming out as we get closer to the date. But if you are interested in volunteering to help with the judging and all of that, I think you could probably call Dina at the fair and get lined up. And also during the fair, we're going to have a garden tour on Sunday morning, July 30th from 9 to noon. The cost will be $10 per person. The proceeds go to Haynes Friends Recycling, because we do all the composting and recycling for the fair. It'll be a guided tour that's going to go to Found Root, to Blythe Carter's Garden, and to the Henderson Farm. Tickets will be available at Babbling Book, the fair office, the information booth, and at the HFR booth during the recycling booth during the fair. And the tours from 9 o'clock on Sunday, I said that, in the parking lot with carpools to get everyone to where they want to go. They'll start with Blythe's, then go to Found Root, and then to Henderson, and attendance will be limited. So it's a really interesting thing to do, to have these guided tours.
And you can pick the brains of the people who are sponsoring the gardens.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's so much to learn. And I think, you know, the people who have the gardens also learn from the questions.
Absolutely.
And from the input from everybody who is there. So questions this week. We're not getting a lot of questions, folks, so send them on in. But Jerry, you got some strawberry plants this year. How are they doing?
I got some strawberry plants from a friend who grows a particular variety that's been very faithful to her. And the plants are doing beautifully. They have flowers and are beginning to set fruit right now. And they're in not particularly desirable location, because they get a few hours of sun in the morning, and then they get dappled light for a few hours, and then in the afternoon, after 11:30 or 12 o'clock, they are in deep shade. Mm. But yet they're producing. And in the same bed, I have lettuce growing, and the lettuce really likes it. So they seem to be talking to each other and getting along quite nicely. But I don't really know what to do with the plants once they start sending runners, or how do you feed them. And so I really appreciate any advice you have.
Okay. So I have, these are, I think, Anway strawberries, and I have mine in a 4 by 8 foot raised bed. In the spring, as soon as I start to see the leaves coming up, I put one bag of steer manure on them, and that's the food for the year. And then I cut the runners off until about the 1st of August. So the plant will put its energy into the strawberries and not into the next generation of plants. Mm-hmm. And then after the major harvest is done, again, about the 1st of August, then I start letting the runners go. Plants produce the best their first year.
What do you? Two questions. One is, do you cut the runner off as soon as it makes its appearance on the plant, or do you let it kind of develop into a baby plant? And secondly is, when do you decide that the parent plant has spent its useful life and dig it up and discard it?
The honest truth is, I cut the runners off when I see them. So as soon as I see them, which doesn't mean that I get them exactly the very first day. But again, you want the plant's energy not to be going into making the babies yet, but into making the strawberries. So the sooner you can get rid of them, the better. And then I watch my plants, because once they get to be a couple years old, they quit producing fruit. And so then those I'll let do their runner thing and then take them out.
And how concentrated do you allow the plants to become around each other? Should each plant have 6 or 8 inch circumference or diameter circle to itself, or more room than that? Or
I let them during this, I thin them in the spring so that there's probably about 6 inches between plants, and I give the extra plants to friends, mm-hmm. Who would like them. And then during the year, during the summer, they get really pretty crowded, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So I should tell the lettuce to beware.
Yeah. Well, your lettuce may bolt soon, and let the strawberries take over. I mean, it's your judgment. Which do you prefer, strawberries or lettuce?
Yeah. I've been growing strawberries for years, and I allow them more room, you know, so that they can. I just feel like the more air they get underneath of them, the better, because they do tend to like bunch up and. You know, and also slugs love strawberries. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to really watch out for the slugs. Try to do some eggshells or something around the plants. And wetness, too. I always, you know, instead of battling the weeds, I grow mine in, I put plastic over mine, you know, and just cut a little hole so that they can go in there, because strawberries tend to attract
plastic.
Weeds. Yeah, black plastic. And... But with that, you will have water that kind of stays there, and so the plants could get mushy. So they actually make these things that are like big record players, like big records, mm-hmm. you know, a 33 RPM. Mm-hmm. Big circular disc.
Some of us remember that is.
Yeah, this is a history lesson.
With a bunch of holes in them, and that kind of keeps them up off of so they don't get mushy, so their leaves don't get mushy. And I really don't do much for my strawberries at all. I hardly water them. I mean, they just kind of pop up. But what you can do with those baby runners, I mean, when you're ready to have a family, to have babies, you can put little containers, yogurt containers or whatever, of dirt, and put the babies still attached to the with the umbilical cord still
attached to mom.
And you can put them in there, and they will root, and then you have a really nice plant.
Yeah. So this would be after you've decided
to let the runners go.
Yeah. And that can work out really well if you're going to move them around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the moisture can be a real issue mm-hmm. here, and you know, so I think you do have to pay attention to that. And, of course, you want to put bird netting over top now to keep the birds out and squirrels out. That can be a problem.
Yeah.
In California, where they grow them commercially, they'll grow them on raised rows. Mm-hmm. And they'll put the strawberries on the top with the black plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let the runners kind of go down the edge. And then they just
get into dirt.
Flood irrigate the whole thing.
Yeah. Neat.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Idea.
Anytime you're traveling, if you're a gardener, just go look at farms and gardens. There's so much to learn about. what people do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
weed barrier cloth, too, you could use mm-hmm. instead of the black plastic.
Instead of the plastic,
and
right.
And that way the water from the rain would go
yeah,
through.
Yeah, that's true. It would.
And it wouldn't sit there.
Right.
But yet it would deter the weeds. It doesn't eliminate yeah. them, but it deters mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't use either of those. I just...
I know. You can't recycle those.
Right. What are you going to do with all that old black plastic? And yeah, yeah. But anyway, so good luck with that. The other thing that I think that's really important to remember is that you want to keep, if you have a really good variety, like an Anway or something like that, keep it a long distance away from any other kind of strawberry because they will hybridize.
And what do you mean by a long distance? How far? Because I was given a strawberry plant this spring, and I love my strawberries. They're not Anways, but they're really good strawberries, and I don't want them to cross-pollinate.
Yeah, I personally, I would only grow one variety of strawberry.
I couldn't say no to a strawberry plant.
I know, but yeah, but they may, you know, you do run that risk. I'd keep them, I'm going to make up a number and say 100 yards.
The other side of the house.
Yeah,
the
at
other
least.
Side. Okay.
Yeah,
all
yeah, because
right.
bees are what are going to cause the cross-pollinating.
That's true. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you want to get it out of the range of where a bee would fly from one plant to the next.
Okay.
So... as far away as possible, or better yet, not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
Yeah. So some things to think about.
Well, if we have time, bolting is an issue
yes.
that came up to me just the other day because I was going in the garden to pick some kale, and I had some Chinese cabbage or Napa cabbage planted right next to the kale in a different row, and I noticed it was all starting to bolt. And it reminded me that last year in the community garden, everybody's spinach was bolting about this time, maybe 2 weeks later, except for one variety that was in sort of the center of the garden. Everybody had done everything at the same time. And so I went to seek out what kind of variety that was. And bless her soul, she didn't remember what variety it was. So if anyone has any non-bolting varieties, particularly of spinach and lettuce mm-hmm. And Napa cabbage, please send them in to how do we do this?
Gardens@khns.org. Yeah. Yeah, that would be good to, and I think that speaks to why it's a good idea to keep records of what you plant and where, because if you find something that works really well, it's nice to know what mm-hmm. that is. And yeah, spinach does bolt this time of year as we are approaching solstice already mm-hmm. With the long days. So when you're picking varieties, look at the package or at the description in the catalog, because you want to get non-bolting varieties wherever you can, or long day varieties. And then a lot of people just give up. I mean, the spinach is going to mm-hmm. bolt, and then they'll start it again sometime after solstice.
That was another question is, what do you try to plant before the solstice, and what do you try to catch on the back end of it?
Yeah. And spinach and lettuce are good things to catch on the back end, things that will be very cold tolerant and that will come along pretty quickly.
Well, it's interesting. I've never had trouble growing lettuce here. It has never bolted. And the spinach routinely bolts.
Yeah.
And they're planted in beds that are 8 feet apart from each other. So it's really kind of a peculiar thing to me to hear. I don't know if this is not varieties, or if it just happens to be the little ecological niche that I have in my particular garden.
I think the answer to that is yes to both. I planted, on the 5th of March, I planted about 20 spinach plants. And I took half a dozen and put them in dryer barrels and covered them with Remay and planted them very early outside as soon as the ground was warm enough in those barrels, and it warms up pretty fast.
This is a decommissioned dryer, by the way.
Right.
That's
yeah,
what a dryer
yeah,
barrel
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
it's a decommissioned
yeah,
dryer
right.
that's
it's
been
the tub
taken
out
apart.
Of a dryer taken apart. And I covered those with Remay, and I got a beautiful spinach crop a month ago. I was eating spinach, and I took some that I'd planted exactly the same day and put them in a raised bed close by the barrel. And so now the ones in the barrel are bolting and about done. The ones in the raised beds are just primo.
Oh, good.
So having things in different places in your garden mm-hmm. helps your garden adapt to the kind of summer we have, and it can extend your harvest. Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea to use all of the little microclimates that you have in your garden. So get out there and with a cup of iced tea or hot tea or whatever the day prescribes, and just look around.
And if you have a variety that has of spinach or Napa cabbage or lettuce that has not bolted, please send it in, and we will call those out one day on the radio or make it available to people who are interested.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always interesting. Always okay. interesting. This is Jerry and Melissa.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll
all right.
See you again
thank
soon.
You. See you in a week.
All right. Thank you so much.